You know how much I love my pillow, how much it's changed my life for the better. Well, I figured it was about time that I let you know about my pillow sheets. Now, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. That's why he has created the new Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Now, these sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza, that's only grown in a very small region where the Sahara Desert, Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River all meet to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. These Giza sheets are available in a variety of colors. They come with Mike's 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. The first night you sleep on these sheets, it's heaven. You'll never want to sleep on anything else. Now, right now, you, my listeners, you're going to save 30% and get free shipping when you use the promo code Sean7, S-E-A-N 7, when you go to MyPillow.com. Again, that's promo code Sean7, S-E-A-N 7, at MyPillow.com. All right, glad you're with us, and happy Monday, and write down our toll-free telephone number. Big news week. Got a couple of investigative reports we are going to get to. Great story. Ukrainians are now saying to U.S. prosecutors, why don't you want our evidence? I mean, think of collusion. Evidence of wrongdoing by American Democrats and their allies in the Ukraine, you know, ranging from 2016 election interference, collusion, and obstructing of criminal probes. That would be Joe Biden. I'll get to in a second. You have the head of the Prosecutor General's International Legal Cooperation Department, John Solomon, breaking the story. He'll be with us in a little bit. We're supposed to share information during a working trip with the United States. He said, however, the U.S. ambassador blocked us from obtaining a visa because they were going to give information that would have been damning about collusion and the influence of Ukrainians in the 2016 election. You know, it does not matter what the issue is. If it's sexual assault, it doesn't matter unless you're a Republican. You get the Kavanaugh treatment or you get the Lieutenant Governor of Virginia treatment. I mean, it's pretty pathetic. You know, the immigration, it's great in Obama's second term. We're going to build a wall. We're going to fund the wall. Not if Trump's president. Do they care about the issue? Do they care about Dreamers, DACA? All that was put on the table. They don't care about any of it. You know, I'm watching all of these 2020 candidates. They're all losing their minds. You know, now their big fixation is investigate the president on his tax returns. That's never going to happen. And if it does happen, every American needs to be scared to death. You want to know why? Because they're going to want to look at your tax returns if you take a political position that you shouldn't. In other words, they're weaponizing the IRS, which is not their first time. You know, when you have Jay Sekulow said this weekend, the White House, they're not turning over the president's tax returns. And by the way, they have no intention of trying to obtain Nancy Pelosi's tax returns from the IRS, you know, despite her past refusal to release them voluntarily. You know, just like health care, you get Obamacare, lose your doctor, your plan, and pay more, and they keep their health care. They're just a bunch of phonies. I never saw such rank hypocrisy. Where are all the I believers in the case in Virginia? I mean, Pelosi has a minimum net worth of $29.3 million, according to an analysis of Roll Call. They have an estate in San Francisco. Now, outside of the enclave of their gated community, what do we know? That there are people that are homeless all over the place. Feces, they're going to the bathroom in the streets, and needles everywhere. She hasn't done anything to use any of those millions of dollars to help the people in her own district. You know, it's valued between, what, $5 million and $25 million, the estate that Pelosi has with a wall. And by the way, description of the property is posted on its architect's website, inspired by a guest house and a Z-shaped pool. Why didn't you let the homeless people down the block go in the Z-shaped pool, whatever a Z-shaped pool is? And the couple also collects, you know, between $5,000, $15,000 in income for the gross sale of grapes at their vineyard. Well, isn't that nice? I wonder what kind of wine they're drinking. You know, you get, it's interesting. Adam Schiff the guy on tape colluding. I won't play it now. Maybe later. He still sees ample evidence of collusion. Now they've moved on. So they're not going to get anything on collusion, but now let's try and get Trump's tax returns. We'll move on to the next issue, the next fixation, the next attack. They don't care about collusion. They don't care about sexual assault. They don't care about people like they say they do. They only care if they can use topics, even as serious and significant as, you know, look at the case in Virginia as rape and violent sexual assault. They can't bludgeon Trump or a judge for the Supreme Court or anybody that likes Trump, then why bother? You know, Nadler saying, well, the Mueller report, there could be grounds for impeachment. We don't think this it rises to the level. It's they never want this to end. They never cared about collusion. Never mind that you have to, with obstruction, prove intent. Never mind there's no underlying crime because Mueller was quoted in Barr's letter. No evidence of any collusion of any type. It's so interesting to watch even Obama expressing concerns about this radical move to the left. And he went out there this weekend saying, well, it could end up undercutting allies in the Democratic Party. Is that
something? And one of the things I do worry about some.
I'm not worried about what he's worried about. Anyway, and progress. One of the things I worry about is American progressives in the U.S. That's his whole party. He was the first one that went that hard left. Bill Clinton was not that hard left. He tried to be for the first 2 years of his presidency. Then he got a shellacking in the midterm, and Newt Gingrich and Republicans came to power for the first time in 40 years, and he thought better of it. The era of big government's now over. Let's do the end of welfare as we know it.
Slick Willie.
So, you know, but that is, this is your new modern Democratic problem. I was watching over the weekend, Bernie Sanders wants incarcerated prisoners to vote. Democrats are pushing hard to get rid of the Electoral College. And you're saying, well, why not have the popular vote? Well, if you go back as we did last week and you read our framers and our founders, they were very adamant about protecting the states and their rights and not being gobbled up by big cities like, oh, New York, D.C., Los Angeles, San Francisco, or states like New Jersey and Illinois, because they'll decide every election if you're going to move to the popular vote. And let me tell you how that's going to end. That's going to end with states saying, you know what? See you later. And it won't be the United States of America anymore. Why is it that they want prisoners to vote? Why is it they want open borders? Well, I know that there are some, maybe even Republicans and business people, they want cheaper labor. How about putting Americans to work now? How about Americans, if we need to, if we have openings, and we kind of do right now, for additional workers, sure. But they got to come in legally. They got to be vetted. They got to take care of themselves while they're here. So they want to get rid of the Electoral College. They want to stack the Supreme Court. Prisoners now can vote. They want to knock down any border walls, I guess hoping that anybody that comes into the country that might need government aid is going to love the new Green Deal that will pay you money whether you work or you don't work, or guarantee you health care in New York City under Comrade de Blasio, or you know, United Socialist Republic of California under Gavin Newsom, which is offering anybody, legal, illegal, wherever you come from, free health care. My advice is if you get sick, go to California. They don't care. They're offering that as an incentive. Go visit. Find a good hospital, maybe USC, maybe UCLA. Get your medical treatment and go back home. Gavin says it's free. You don't have to be a resident. You don't even have to be in the country legally. You know, a party that is now clinging to during birth abortions and after birth abortion even, you know, will deliver the baby, make the baby comfortable, let the mother decide. Why do they want to stack the Supreme Court? Because what they could never win at the ballot box, what they could never get done legislatively, they want the courts to do. Of course, if you're going to stack the Supreme Court, it would be stacked during when a Democrat's president. You know, do you ever think you'd hear for the first time because of Donald Trump's policies, America's energy independent? How cool is that? Why is that cool? Well, it's good, number one, because the energy sector pays a lot of money. I mean, the numbers of jobs we will ultimately create when we start drilling in Anwar, which has now been opened up, when we get the Keystone and the Dakota pipelines online, and those are finished, and now we're producing even more. We are the biggest oil gas producing country in the world. Okay, so you got truck drivers that are making 100 grand and they'll teach you how to drive the truck. Wow, if you're making 40 grand right now, that is a drastic change to your lifestyle. That means you're going to hopefully get a new house, your first house maybe, hopefully get a new truck, hopefully be able to take your kids to Disney, and all of a sudden life's looking good, a lot better than it was. That's called American jobs. It's called them. And then you think of the national security implications of this. Okay, countries that we've been importing energy from all these years, many of them hate our guts. Yeah, you know, let's start with the Saudis. I've been like the most outspoken person against Sharia in the country. I don't know why civil libertarians and some of these groups don't join with me. They treat women like garbage. They tell them how to dress. They tell them, in some cases, there's no such thing as marital rape. In some cases, women are beaten. In some cases, women can't drive. Women can't travel without their husband's permission. Women can't leave the house without a male relative. You know, look at how gays and lesbians are treated. It doesn't matter Shia, Sunni, Iran, Saudi Arabia. You know, they're killing gays and lesbians for being who they are. Why don't you leave them alone? And it's happening more often than you think. Or they're throwing them off buildings or stoning people to death. These are human beings. Or the fact that they persecute. You want to try and build a temple or a Christian church in some of these countries? Good luck with that. No, you're persecuted if you don't believe in their views. You don't hear a boo out of Democrats that claim they have a monopoly of compassion for all these groups. And now look at the proposal. No oil or gas for 10 years. In 10 years from now, we're going to stop. But no combustion engine. You're going to have to buy an electric car, but they're going to have plenty of places you can charge it. And then, of course, you're going to be guaranteed your government job. That's only if you're willing to work. You'll still get the benefits if you're unwilling to work. Your government Medicare for all, but you don't get any choices of private insurance. You will take what they give you, and it will fail. Guaranteed. Then we're going to end up like the health system even in Great Britain. Oh, the life expectancy for somebody like yourself, ma'am, you've already passed your life expectancy. You're not eligible for a hip replacement or a knee replacement. Well, what if that person's about to live 20 more years? And that's what happens. We'll get rid of the combustion engine. Great. We're going to get guaranteed government jobs, guaranteed healthy food, guaranteed vacations, guaranteed health care, guaranteed retirement. We're going to, and the goal is as soon as we can to eliminate cows and airplanes too. And we're going to build high speed rail. Oh, are you going to build it across the pond to Europe or under the pond? How are you going to get that to Asia? I'm just curious. Where's that going to be built? How are we going to get to New Zealand and Australia? This is insane. And I'm watching all of these people this weekend. They cannot help themselves. All right, we got a lot to get to. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone. We have Kirsten Nielsen has been fired. A lot of people now, I guess, pleading guilty in that college admission scandal issue, including Felicity Huffman, I guess, has pled guilty. I think she was the one that did the least amount. I think she was only like 15 grand. I don't think she put a picture of her kid playing a sport that the kid never played. Imagine taking your kid's picture. You know, I mean, you know, and some people don't seem to care. I read an article today about it. I'm like, well, I just happen to know a lot of college athletes. And, you know, you can check my daughter's tennis record out from when she's 7. My son when he's 9. I mean, there's a lot of traveling, a lot of states, you know, a lot of bad weekends. Well, there's sometimes. Yeah, it's some good ones, too. You know, there are more than 34 million American smokers. Now, I bet that finding a satisfying alternative to cigarettes is at the top of your list if you're a smoker. Look, I've been there before. But after many years of smoking, I finally made the switch to Juul. There's no more worrying about the way my clothes smell, worrying about what people are gonna say. With Juul, everything is so much easier. Now, Juul is a vaporizer that contains nicotine for a satisfying transition. When I found Juul, it was a complete game changer. Now, Juul was designed by smokers for smokers to be an alternative to cigarettes. From its simple to use interface to its clean technology, well, Juul has no cigarette ash, odor, or mess. So if you're one of the 34 million adults who smoke, know that there is an alternative to cigarettes. Now, to discover the smoking alternative that's nothing like you've tried, visit juul.com/switchamerica. That's juul.com/switchamerica. And warning, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. Wow, there might be something in the Mueller report, but they don't care about obstruction of Hillary. Hillary deleted 33,000 emails. You know the story. You know, Obama's worried about the far left of his party. He even discussed assimilation. You know, I've used the term, you know, once you are you come in the country legally, and if you speak a different language, the most important thing, I think, because the language of success, we don't want anybody to not have access to all that we have to offer. So English, in that sense, is the language of success. You want people to have that advantage. If they can't speak it, you want them to learn for their own benefit so that they're not going to not get a job because they don't speak English. But if a Republican said it, God help you. I've always said it's the language of success. By the way, there is Ocasio-Cortez, I have no idea what she's up to, but she's very sensitive to all criticism now. And literally, she was featured, I guess, at everybody was over at Al Sharpton's National Action Network, all saying they're for reparations. Anyway, she was featured earlier in the day. She said, people campaigning against the Amazon campus are financially illiterate, said Tracy Maitland, president, chief investment officer of Advent Capital Management. You know how many jobs are going to be created? High-paying, on average, $150,000 a year jobs? Goodbye. Now, New York was overpaying for it, but New York is stupid. Now we'll see what state those jobs land in. Simply Safe Home Security. This is a truly good, honest, great company, and you don't find many of those anymore. And Simply Safe is 100% committed to helping you fear less in your home. Now, they'll protect your home 24/7, and they really take care of you. Now, Simply Safe CEO started the company from the ground up right at his kitchen counter. Now it's the fastest growing home security company in the entire country, and they protect millions of Americans every single day. But they still run like a small company with the same values that they started with. And that's why Simply Safe has no contracts, no hidden fees, no installation fees. Now the system is wireless and practically invisible in your home, and you can order it online, just a few clicks, and you'll see that it feels good to fear less. Just go to simplysafe.com/Sean to get 10% off. That's simplysafe.com/Sean. Free shipping, free returns, and 10% off because you listen to my show. simplysafe.com/Sean. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. I just go over this list and you're thinking, wow, prisoners voting in prison. You know, goodbye Electoral College. Let's let New York, New Jersey, and California decide every president. Dumb. You're not going to have a United States at that point. During afterbirth abortions. I can't even believe I'm saying those words. But we played it enough. You've heard it yourself. Then you got open borders, no walls. Let's stack the Supreme Court. We will tell you how to run your business, Ocasio-Cortez said. We'll tell you. Oh, and we're going to tax corporations at a 90% top marginal rate. Okay, what do you think, what business is going to build anywhere in America with a 90% top marginal rate? Nobody. And people are in business to make a profit. I know that's horrible, but how do they make a profit? They make a profit if they create goods and services that people, we the people, want, need, and desire. If you didn't want whatever it is they're selling, they'd be out of business. If you didn't want their service, you'd be out of business. You'd be painting your own house, you know, maybe cutting your own lawn or maybe doing your own plumbing, building your own house. Good luck with that, because it's not going to be as nice as the one you're probably living in. But that's capitalism. Now, you take away the incentive that people are going to make a profit if they work really hard and offer you the best price, best service they can and build a reputation. And, yeah, well, maybe over time they get themselves a nice house and they're able to buy a nice car and they're able to pay for their kids to go on vacation and eat dinner and maybe pay for college, which, by the way, is not cheap anymore. This is it. And then we're going to tax individuals at 70%. Top marginal rate. All right, what does that do? Well, top marginal rate at 70% means, oh, all those people that left New York, California, New Jersey, Illinois, and they're headed to Tennessee, Florida, and Texas, and the Carolinas, and other low-tax states. Yeah, they'll probably, if it's nationwide, they might leave the country now. And they're going to take their money with them. You know, then we're going to have a wealth tax, according to Elizabeth Warren. Great. We tax you, and then if you saved enough, we're going to come back and take another big chunk of whatever you saved because you saved too much. And then we're going to use that to pay for guaranteed daycare. Then we'll get rid of oil and gas, the lifeblood of every economy. You think about, you want to stop Putin? You really want Russia, the hostile regime, Putin, a hostile actor? You really want to bring Russia to its knees? I'll tell you how to do it. It's not that hard. Well, we've got more energy resources in this country than all these other countries combined. Right now, you know, when Merkel made this, you know, billions plus dollar deal with Putin on energy, I'm like, what? Why are we allowing that to happen? We do need to figure out a way, because obviously proximity comes into, geography comes into, and more proximity than anything else. How do we get our natural gas, how do we get our oil to our European allies, and how do we undercut Putin? You know what? Guess what? We start doing that, and he gets weakened dramatically. That's the lifeblood of their entire economy. And that's selling it. What if he decides, knowing he's kind of unstable, knowing all he wants to do, he's not a reliable ally to anybody, except maybe Iran and Syria. Now he's trying to nudge his way into Venezuela and the chaos that's unfolding there. Want to get rid of the hostile regime, Russia, the threat? Undercut their price. Take over the market. We won't have to be begging countries in the Middle East anymore. By the way, huge, important election in Israel. If you're there, you have people that you know there, vote Likud. I know there are a lot of other, quote, conservative far-right parties, but Likud is the vote. I mean, we've never had better relations with the United States and Israel under, you know, Bibi was a lone voice of moral clarity on the world stage. He is single-handedly confronted radical Islam. And his country has been under fire. And he's done an amazing job. But, you know, they indicted him for taking a box of cigars. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, most blatantly political thing I've ever seen done. Sort of like the witch hunt. Then we're going to have no gas. We'll get rid of the combustion engine. Do you like your car? Maybe. I have a buddy of mine. Oh, actually, I have a lot of friends of mine. They love sports cars. Now, some of them like classic sports cars. One friend of mine loves this, what, 96 or 7 Ferrari thing. I don't know what it is. And he goes, no, geez, all you got to do is drive it. You're going to love it. I drive it. I said, it's nice. I don't want to sit this low to the ground. And then another friend of mine has one of those Porsche sports car things. The Carrera, I guess they call it. Yeah. And he's like, you got to drive it. Okay, I'll drive it. Don't you want one? No, not really. I really don't want one. It's not my thing. But you could say goodbye. I mean, unless they come up with electric versions of them. You know, my favorite car my dream car growing up was always a Chevy Chevelle Super Sport. They come in different models. There was a square model and the more rounded model. And it comes in a convertible, too. They don't make enough convertibles today. I know they have moon, you know, the sunroof, moonroof, whatever they call the stupid thing. And, you know, but I don't even open it. So why would I put air conditioning on? Just put in the temperature you want. Hit on. And, but we're going to get rid of the combustion engine. We'll have a government paid for job, vacation, everything else. I mean, they've gone nuts. They want to fundamentally transform this country, and they're willing to have open borders to do it, regardless. Doesn't matter how many criminal alien immigrants come in with the population that wants a better life. Doesn't matter the burden, the cost to the American people for health care and education in the criminal justice system. Forget about angel moms and dads. I mean, they're attacking Kirstjen Nielsen for, oh, well, she will never live down, that she is the one that put children in cages. No, it was actually under hers and Trump's watch that it got stopped. Notice they don't, Nancy Pelosi and company never wanted to meet with angel moms and dads, the ones that have permanent separation, in part because of, oh, sanctuary policies like the state of California, the city of San Francisco. I mean, said the what are the Democrats? They said that they're going to, you know, I guess it was Elizabeth Warren say, well, we can't just run anti-Trump. Okay, they say that, but then all they now want is tax returns. They're never getting his tax returns. You don't get to use the IRS to bludgeon a political opponent. You don't. Now, if you want to change the law, go ahead. But you're not going to get him just because Gerald Nadler thinks that he can subpoena the president's tax returns. It's not going to happen. But that's where their head is. It's not about creating jobs or an economic opportunity in the country. Well, Trump's done all that alone, basically. They haven't helped. Ending burdensome regulations, securing our borders, keeping his promises, checking them off the list. By the way, Don Lemon says the right is obsessed with Ocasio-Cortez. Not really. Ocasio-Cortez is very angry that people thought that she was using an accent at Al Sharpton's National Action Network conference. This has come up before with, you know, I don't feel no ways tired. And Al Gore, a Republican is wrong for African-Americans. You know, I mean, it's so, it's just horrible.
And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Stand with me for the economic empowerment that is the next great civil rights frontier. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Don't tell me we live in a colorblind society. The Republicans know that theirs is the wrong agenda for African Americans. That's why they don't even want to count you in the census.
But then Hillary does the same thing, and she did it again recently. I mean, for whatever before predominantly African American voices of audiences, their voices change.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far. Where I started from.
I haven't heard the audio of Ocasio-Cortez, and she is saying, as much as the right wing wants to distort and deflect, I'm from the Bronx, and I act and I talk like it when I'm fired up, especially when I'm home, she said in a tweet. It's so hurtful to see how every aspect of my life is weaponized against me and complain yet somehow asserted as false at the same time. I'm a proud bartender. By the way, I have that in common. I was a really good bartender. I had to move when I was a bartender. Made a lot of money moving really fast. But let me play it. I haven't heard it yet. Jason, do you have... find it? Okay. She got mad at the Daily Wire that actually said she might have broken laws. That's a problem. You got Stacey Abrams saying the Georgia fetal heartbeat bill is evil. You can sense a heartbeat. The thinking in Georgia is, well, maybe a heartbeat reflects real life and it ought to be protected. She says it's evil. You know, I told you about the tax issue. Then we got, oh, then you've got Democrats want Fox News. to answer for why they didn't run the story about Stormy. And I've watched this back and forth with this, and there was a Mediaite article by the guy who was one of the editors at the time. He said, I'm not going before any House committee. I'm a member of the press. You don't get to question why I make an editorial decision. And I don't think any member of the press should be questioned. They don't get to tell you what stories you can and cannot write. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, I'm going to watch that one. Yeah, let's play Ocasio.
I'm proud to be a bartender. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
That doesn't sound bad to me. Doesn't sound bad. I didn't get that. That's the first time I heard it. But everyone's making a big deal. I don't blame her for being mad. I'm proud to be a bartender too. I love it. I think one of the best things that ever happened in my life is 20 years of real work. It keeps you grounded. I've said many times, I don't think fame is healthy at all. And nobody wants to hear that. So you got this new, I don't even know who this person is that the media is going all crazy about. This Buttigieg, I guess he's the mayor in South Bend, Indiana. You know, he's going after Mike Pence. And then you got an MSNBC, I don't know, somebody there saying that he represents, is seen as a real threat to Kamala Harris and other diverse candidates seeking the Democratic presidential nomination because he's coming under attack by the mainstream media's diversity crowd or whatever. But there was a whole segment, I guess, on MSNBC decrying what was being framed as an excessive attention to the Bidens, the Bernies, the Betos, and the Buttigieg. Did I say his name right? I don't know a whole lot about him, except he's 37, mayor of South Bend, and he's running for president as a Democratic candidate. Okay, when he gets, you know, some notoriety, maybe we'll pay attention to him. Biden, by the way, is in trouble in Iowa. Emerson poll Iowa voters, Biden's neck and neck with Bernie. Bernie now seems to have prevailed as the front runner in this race. And there's a great article by Byron York. Face it, Biden and Bernie are too old to be president. They don't have the energy of Trump, I can tell you that. Pathetic Democrats have become the party of apologies. That was in the New York Post. There was a face-off. Now, it was interesting to watch Robert Francis Beto Bozo. He showed up at a town hall, and there were literally, it was like a third of the way full. Yeah, I'm not making that up. I want to remind you, too, if you're an unhappy timeshare owner, you went on a vacation, you're having the time of your life, somebody says you can duplicate this every year for the rest of your life, and then you never end up going back. And then you realize there are other nice places I could go to, and I could better use that money, but every year you got to pay the maintenance fees and whatever other fees associated with it. You wish you never did it. Well, there's a way out, thanks to my friends at Lone Star Transfer, Brian and Karen. They run a family-owned business. They will make sure that your experience is a pleasant one. They will get you out of your timeshare legally, ethically, and quickly. I have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and this is what they do. Don't let another year go by and you're paying all this money for a timeshare you're never going to use. Now, two ways to get them. Online at LoneStarTransfer.com, all right? Or give my friends a call, no obligation. Call #250 on your mobile, keyword timeshare. Just hit #250 on your mobile phone, say the keyword timeshare, or just go to LoneStarTransfer.com. By the way, do you now believe that it's a crisis at the border? Does everybody now believe? Does anyone have any doubt watching the biggest caravan to date headed right to the U.S.? You know, even Obama's saying, you better stop with the identity politics. I'm worried about the progressives in my own party. And one of the biggest problems we have is the system now is so overwhelmed that people can just come in, claim asylum. They get a court date down the road. But we know that 95% of them are never going to show up for their court date. You know, so now it's become, you get across the border, you're basically in unless you get caught. And if it's a sanctuary city or state, you commit a crime, you get out of jail. They'll aid and abet you to commit more crimes. All right, we got Newt Gingrich coming up, and John Solomon, breaking news on Ukrainian officials trying to influence the 2016 election next.
I think what we're talking about here is the difference between conduct that rises to the level of criminality and conduct that is deeply unethical, unpatriotic, and corrupt that may not be criminal. And I think you saw from Mr. Mulvaney on your show last week, and indeed we see from Mr. Nunes and Mr. McCarthy, an attitude that ethics don't matter. If there's no crime, there's no foul. And I think if we get to that point in this country, then we are in a very desperate situation.
But there was, in plain sight, open collusion with the Russians. When the president's son and campaign manager and son-in-law go to a meeting with the Russians to receive, quote, dirt on Hillary as part of the Russian government's attempt to help the Trump campaign, and that was in the email inviting them to the meeting. They go to the meeting. They want that information. That is collusion. Whether it's criminal conspiracy is another question.
Right. As of right now, this may not be all of them, but this cleans up quite a bit. We have 8 referrals that we are prepared to send over to the Attorney General this week. So I would say that, first of all of these are classified or sensitive, and so because a lot of them could contain sensitive or classified information. 5 of them are what I would call straight up referrals. So just referrals that name someone and name the specific crimes. Those crimes are lying to Congress, misleading Congress, leaking classified information. So 5 of them are those types. There are 3 that I think are more complicated. So you mentioned conspiracy. So the question on conspiracy is what, you know, there's the conspiracy statute, and then what do they need to look at under that statute?
All right, glad you're with us. Hour 2, Sean Hannity Show. Write down our toll-free telephone number. It's 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of this program. First, of course, you're hearing from the cowardly Schiff and Nadler. I mean, these guys just, well, it's not a matter of criminal. It's bad. It's still bad. No matter what it is, it's bad. We don't know what it is, but, well, if there's no underlying crime, you just throw out the words unpatriotic. We know the meeting was at Trump Tower about the Magnitsky Act. That's what we know. And we know that everybody thought it was a colossal waste of time. And we know that Fusion GPS met both before and afterwards with the Russian woman who went in there under false pretenses anyway. But nobody seemed to care. There was a Russian dossier. I mean, it's just like, for example, you know, Democrats are open. Well, Barr and Rosenstein, they decided that there's no obstruction. Mueller didn't make a decision on that. He just presented the facts to the Department of Justice, which, by the way, is what the Democrats wanted after the Clinton impeachment. Put that aside. Do Democrats really care about obstruction of justice when none of them ever talk about, oh, deleting subpoenaed emails, 33,000 of them, acid washing your hard drive with bleach bit, busting up your devices with hammers and removing SIM cards? It's not about that. It's just like they don't care about the issue of women and potential sexual assault. Otherwise, what they were doing to Justice Kavanaugh, they would now be doing to the Virginia lieutenant governor. And that none of that is happening. If they cared about walls and dreamers and DACA and furloughed employees like they did in the second term of Obama, they would have been out there supporting President Trump. But they don't want that either. So we have a great hypocrisy. Now, another question is, now that we know an FBI investigation has shown this, 2 congressional investigations, the House Intel Committee, bipartisan Senate Committee, and now the Mueller report have unequivocally said no Russia collusion, no evidence of collusion. And it's gone on these tinfoil hat conspiracy theories, all these anonymous sources. None of it turns out to be true. First thing I would say is, why weren't you interested in the phony Clinton bought and paid for Russian dossier that we know was used to bludgeon the Trump campaign to influence the outcome of the 2016 election? All of this is now coming home. This is not far now from really being exposed for what it is in terms of those responsible, those being held accountable, as we have promised you. Now, Devin Nunes, he'll be on TV tonight. He's going to make criminal referrals as it relates to, he's going to send them to the DOJ for conspiracy, leaking classified information. It only matters, I guess, to the left if General Flynn does that, or if Michael Cohen lies to Congress, or General Flynn lies to the FBI, even though they didn't think he lied. So that is coming this week. Now, here's another example. Now, do they really care about the outside influence of the bad actor Putin and the hostile regime Russia? Because John Solomon now has taken his article about real evidence of the Ukrainians trying to influence the election. The headline of his new piece and his investigative report in The Hill, thehill.com, is Ukrainian to U.S. prosecutors. Why don't you want our evidence on Democrats? John Solomon joins us now with all the details on this. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
All right, so I think there's a huge double standard as it relates to obstruction, huge double standard as it relates to allegations of sexual assault, same with building border walls, but also as it relates to collusion.
It is so amazing. I was listening to Adam Schiff's interview on Sunday, and his whole collusion theory has collapsed now to the Tower meeting. And let's just think about the Tower meeting and what we know the Democrats did. In the Tower meeting, an unsolicited meeting that came in over the transom. They met with the woman, never followed up with her. She said she had dirt on Hillary Clinton. They never got it. The Democrats hired a foreigner, Christopher Steele, and paid him to go meet with foreigners, including a Russian intelligence agent, to affirmatively find dirt on Donald Trump. That is a proactive action as opposed to the passive action. There's far more evidence of collusion on the Democrat side than what now the Democrats are claiming on the Russia side, now that all of this and the Republican side, now that it has all collapsed. Here's what we know about Ukraine. It's so important to focus on what the Ukrainians are actually saying. They are saying they have a videotape of the head of their FBI, the NABU, admitting he tried to influence the election to help Hillary Clinton win by leaking some documents on Paul Manafort. They have affidavits from two senior government officials admitting that they worked in concert to try to help Hillary Clinton win the election. They have $3 million changing hands in 2015 and 16 to Joe Biden's son. They have correspondence showing both the State Department and the U.S. Embassy in Kiev were interfering or applying pressure to stop Ukrainian authorities from pursuing some of these allegations. And this is the new one that I have today. There are contacts between Democratic figures in Washington and Ukrainian government officials, some of those through the embassy in Washington, that were designed to pass along dirt on Donald Trump. That's a lot of collusion, a lot more than what Bob Mueller found on the Russia Republican side.
Well, I mean, this is all out here and now available for everybody to see. And I think the details of your article are pretty stunning. And I think that, you know, when you have Ukrainian to U.S. prosecutors, why don't you want our evidence?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty clear. Let's say that they do get the evidence. I mean, where are they going to hand it over? To the Attorney General or?
That's a great question. They've tried to do that. So starting last fall, the Ukrainians sought a visa from the U.S. Embassy in Kiev to come here, and the prosecutors were not granted their visa. They weren't rejected. They just weren't given it, which meant they couldn't travel and deliver the information directly. So then they hired an intermediary, a former U.S. attorney who worked in the George W. Bush administration, to go to the Southern District of New York, the same place where the Michael Cohen investigation is currently wrapping up, and he brought an entire document of here are the allegations that they have and the evidence they could provide. Would you be interested? They delivered that last October, never heard back. More recently, the Ukrainians talked to Rudy Giuliani, the president's attorney. He was in Ukraine because he has his own concerns as a member of the Trump legal team about what was going on there and whether Ukraine dug up some of the bogus dirt on Donald Trump. And he's told the same thing again, that there's a lot of evidence over here. For some reason, the Trump DOJ doesn't seem to be interested in it. So three overtures in less than 6 months, and yet none of this evidence has yet to change hands. And I think either someone in Congress is going to have to go over to Ukraine, or the new attorney general has to get briefed on this and make a phone call to his counterpart, Mr. Lutsenko, who was more than glad to talk to me on the record and give me the evidence and see if they can have a conversation between two attorneys general.
It seems like, you know, we actually have real evidence in this case. You have sworn statements from Ukrainian officials admitting that their agency tried to influence the 2016 U.S. election in favor of Hillary Clinton. And, you know, it just shows you what I've been saying. I mean, on all of these issues, straight on down the line, what do we know? We know one thing. The Democrats have one standard for Republicans and another standard for everyone else. you know, the contacts between the Democratic figures in D.C., these Ukrainian officials, you know, passing along dirt on Donald Trump. I thought that's what the whole Mueller thing was supposed to be about. Did they collude? You know, who was doing this? Financial record showing a natural gas company in Ukraine routing $3 million to American accounts tied to Vice President Biden's son.
That's,
I mean,
right.
Yeah, add that to the issue he has with China flying on Air Force Two. And again, millions of dollars involved in a deal while his father is in China. It's beyond the pale to me. And then we have the tape of Biden bragging about firing the prosecutor that was investigating his own son.
It's remarkable. And, you know, I talked to earlier we had talked about the interview with Mr. Lysenko, who's the attorney general of Ukraine. I interviewed one of his deputies last week, a guy named Kulik, Konstantin Kulik. And he said, listen, we have evidence that when the Ukrainians, our own officials, leaked the Paul Manafort documents to try to hurt Donald Trump and help Hillary Clinton, they redacted or removed from the documents they were giving to the New York Times, Washington Post, and others, information about a prominent Democrat. They hid a prominent Democrat's own complicity in certain things. And he said, that just goes to the heart of what was going on our own soil. There were Ukrainians trying to pick Hillary Clinton over or over Donald Trump and using their official government resources in Ukraine to tip the scales in favor of Hillary Clinton. You don't see that reported anywhere except in The Hill and in a few other places, Fox News, and that's it. But there is pretty significant evidence, a court ruling, affidavits of audio tape that would help prove right away that a foreign power was involved. And one of the questions I have, did Hillary Clinton's campaign and did the Democratic National Committee have contacts at the Ukrainian embassy in Washington? Was at a strategic coordination point for some of this assistance? The Ukrainians are telling me it was. We should find out from the Clintons and the DNC whether it was.
All right. So Devin Nunes is going to release at least 8 criminal referrals. It may be the beginning of a cascade of criminal referrals. And what's interesting about it is he intends to send it to the DOJ this week for conspiracy leaking. A lot of this, too, a lot of people seem to have forgotten that Michael Horowitz is still investigating the FISA court and the dossier issue. And I don't know what John Huber's doing. What do you know?
I can't find any sense. I wonder if he's in the witness protection program. Can't find any evidence he's been really doing any major investigative work on this.
Well, I mean, the evidence is overwhelming and incontrovertible on FISA. I mean, we have the bulk of the information being the Hillary bought and paid for Russian dossier. They can't verify the dossier because its author doesn't authenticate it himself, has no idea if
that's
it's true. So wouldn't that mean that everybody that signed it committed a willful fraud against the court? All of them were warned by Bruce Ohr in August of 2016.
Yeah, and keep in mind, we have a pretty significant body of evidence in my columns and other places now where you can see that they actually failed to tell the court about evidence of innocence, things about Papadopoulos and Carter Page that would have proved that they were innocent of the charges that the FBI wanted to monitor them on. It's a really extraordinary abuse, and it's amazing to me that, one, the court hasn't done more publicly to raise questions or that the DOJ hasn't held anyone accountable yet. But I think there's another important thing that Devin Nunes said on television yesterday caught my ear. He said he sees a sprawling, leaking conspiracy, meaning intelligence came in, it was distributed to a small number of people, and then leaks began to occur designed to further the narrative for the FISA. If U.S. officials were involved in leaking to create evidence so that they could further a FISA that they knew was on shaking ground, you would have a major criminal case. And I believe part of what Devin Nunes' referral will likely deal with is this leaking campaign. He said so on Maria Bartiromi yesterday, and I think we ought to keep our eye on that one, that the leaking may have been more than just to damage Donald Trump. It may also have been designed to create false evidence for the FISA application.
Unbelievable work again. John Solomon of The Hill, he'll be on Hannity tonight. We'll update this story. I have a funny feeling. Just pay attention in the days, weeks, months ahead. You're going to see a lot of movement on this. Thank you.
I agree.
All right. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. When we come back, a look at the economy. It has never been better. Steve Moore will join us. Also, Newt Gingrich checks in with us and our news roundup information overload as we continue.
I may shut it down at some point, but I'd rather do tariffs. So Mexico, I have to say, has been very, very good you know that, over the last 4 days since I talked about shutting down the border. If they continue that, everything will be fine. If they don't, we're going to tariff their cars at 25% coming into the United States. So every time they make a car, it's a 25% tariff. That means we make money as opposed to lose money. We probably bring those car companies back into the United States. But if, on the other hand, it doesn't work, which it will, 100%, the tariffs will work just like they've worked with steel. Our steel industry is so hot right now because of what I did with tariffs. Same thing with aluminum. They'll work. But if it didn't work, I will close the border. I also am looking at an economic penalty for all of the drugs that are coming in through the southern border and killing our people. The economic numbers just came out. They're very, very good. Our country's doing unbelievably well economically. Most of you don't report that because it doesn't sound good from your perspective, but the country's doing really, really well. We have a lot of very exciting things going on. A lot of companies will be announcing shortly they're moving back into the United States. They're all coming back. They want to be where the action is. I'm heading to the border. We're building a lot of wall. We're going to show you a section. And a lot of things are happening. A lot of very positive things are happening.
Oh, good news for the country. Bad news for Democrats. Bad news for 2020 candidates. 24 till the top of the hour. The big story is, you know, everyone's talking about creepy, crazy Uncle Joe Biden and all of the new Green Deal and the wealth tax and the 90% top corporate marginal rate, 70% top marginal rate for individuals, and everything will be free, 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 free. But we'll eliminate the lifeblood of our economy, oil and gas, which we now are, for the first time in 70-plus years, energy independent and a net exporter of energy. And it's only the beginning, as we have two pipelines online now, ready to go. That means literally hundreds of thousands to millions of high-paying jobs once we really begin to tap into the very deep resources of natural gas and energy and oil and clean-burning coal that we have in the United States. Then also, people forget the oil at Anwar. That now has all obstacles have been removed. Oil companies will be moving in. And again, there are going to be hundreds of thousands of new high-paying career jobs for our fellow Americans, assuming the world doesn't end in 12 years, assuming the new Green Deal is just this bizarre fantasy being bantered about, assuming the wealth tax does not come into play or those marginal rates that I just mentioned. Yeah, the president is exactly right on the economy. We've had great economic news now for a couple of days. You know, the people that are benefiting the most, the people that I cared the most about in 2016, the forgotten men and women of America and blue collar workers are enjoying wage hikes more so than at any other point in the past 15 years. The people that have been benefiting the most from the president's deregulation and the biggest tax cut in history, that's right, those that were in poverty on food stamps under Obama, millions have left those roles. And when you look at the numbers, you see, oh, another 200,000 jobs created in March as we move now closer to the creation of 6 million new jobs in America. May sound like a small deal, but I'll take it. Sears, after years of closures, they are now beginning to open a more, smaller, more concise stores around the country. A lot of it's going to be focused on their tools, Craftsman and Kenmore, their washers and dryers and other appliances. And that means more jobs for people also. Steve Moore is with us, author of Trumponomics, the inside. The America First Plan to Revive Our Economy, senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. And I understand that you will apparently be moving to the Federal Reserve Board on some other name I heard is Herman Cain.
Hi, Sean. How cool is that Herman Cain has now been nominated as well? So we will be, I think, quite a team over there. And you know, by the way, everything you said on the economy is so spot on. And I am so proud of this president. I was privileged to work as a senior economic advisor to Donald Trump. And one of the claims about me that the left is making is, well, he's going to be too loyal to Trump. And there are things I disagree with Donald Trump about, but you got to love what this guy has done for the economy. I saw the president 2 weeks ago, and I just said, you know, only half jokingly, I said, Mr. President, you have to stop creating so many jobs. We don't have enough workers to fill all these jobs. And that jobs report that came out today is a blockbuster. And I'm going to give you one statistic, Sean, that is just blows me away. I don't know if it blows you away. 7.6 million. That's the number of unfilled jobs in the American economy. That's the surplus number of jobs. That's bigger than the entire population of Indiana.
You know what's amazing about this? Because I knew one statistic that I had been throwing around is we have a million more jobs at least available than we actually have people on unemployment. So it almost brings you to the point of full employment. You know, forget the records. I mean, you know, it's amazing that I'll debate liberals sometimes and I'll say, all right, well, this is Obama's 8-year record. He had 13 million more Americans on food stamps, 8 million more in poverty. And by the way, crazy Uncle Joe, creepy Uncle Joe is going to have to run on this if he gets the nomination. The lowest labor participation rate since the 70s, worst recovery since the 40s, lowest homeownership rate in 51 years. He took on more debt than all 43 presidents before him combined. Right. And the only president never to reach 3% GDP growth in his entire 2-year term, ever. And, you know, when you look at those numbers, they say, well, he inherited a bad economy. I'm like, 7 years ago, I mean, he had time to fix all of this, but he made everything worse.
Well put, and, you know, I like to cite none other than Barack Obama himself, who I think it was about a month before the 2016 election. You remember this. I know you played on the air where Obama says, well, how is Trump going to create all these jobs? How is he going to bring manufacturing and construction back with a magic wand? Well, I think this president must have a magic wand because here's another statistic for you, John. Since the election of Donald Trump, the United States has created 1 million manufacturing, construction, and mining jobs. And it's like a U-turn. They were falling, and then Trump's come in, and they're all back big time.
Well, I mean, those are the jobs that, again, that's the forgotten men and women in this country.
Exactly.
One of the things that I really think the president doesn't get credit for, he doesn't allow these companies to leave without getting on a phone and saying, why would you consider leaving this great country? What is the obstacle that exists within government that would incentivize you to leave? Now, and a lot of the companies, I guess it all started with Carrier Air Conditioner. You know, they left, but now they're all coming back. When companies now are able to repatriate their monies back to America, what is the percent on that? Around 10%?
Yeah. And the latest estimate is a little under $1 trillion. Not $1 billion, $1 trillion has been brought back to the United States in just the last, about a year and a half.
And by the way, and that continues. There's no time limit on the amount of time companies can, you know, pick up companies that left America, they can come back.
It's going to keep streaming in. And look, the tax cut has had a lot to do with this. We were unapologetically pro-American business. We wanted businesses to succeed. We wanted to make them competitive in the world because if you don't have healthy businesses, you can't have healthy jobs. Maybe the thing I'm most proud of, I think the president probably would share this, you know, this thought, is that the wages are growing. I mean, and not just wages for high-income people. In fact, the Wall Street Journal had an amazing report a couple of weeks ago, Sean, that the highest wage gains have been for the lowest income and lowest skilled workers. That's what happens when you create a tight labor market.
Well, you know, the thing is, and then I look at these proposals, if there's, you tell me, if there's a 90% top corporate marginal tax rate and a 70% individual marginal tax rate, tell me, you know, to me, if you want to know what's going to happen, just look at New York, California, Illinois, and New Jersey, where there is now been and continues a mass exodus of people with money that have their businesses and they're leaving in droves. And you look at the population increases in places like Florida and Texas. Tennessee, the Carolinas. Yep. They're leaving for these states, which, by the way, also offer better weather. And right. But there's no, they don't have the burdensome regulation nor the high taxation to deal with. And it is incentivizing all of them to leave, and they're leaving.
Well, that's exactly right. I just wrote a column called The Four States of the Apocalypse, and I'll bet you can guess which four of those are. It's New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and my home state of Illinois. Those are totally Democratic-dominated states with very liberal policies, high tax rates, you know, high regulations, you know, forced union rules, and those states are in a state of financial collapse. When I go to Florida and Texas, all I see is license plates from Connecticut and Illinois and New Jersey.
Well, yeah, I know. All right, so let's talk about now. We had the historic low rates from the Fed and no increases barely during the Obama years, correct?
The rates were very low under under Obama. And, you know, my concern is that the Trump, you know, the reason I've caught some flack lately is because I was very critical, as Donald Trump was, that the Fed was raising interest rates at a time when we had high employment, you know, the best labor force market in 50 years, you know, high growth, 4% last summer, and no inflation. And I just couldn't understand why the Fed would start raising rates when everything is going so well for the American economy. And I've taken some flack from that, but that's where I stand. I want stable prices, but I don't see when you don't have any unemployment, you get a booming economy. Why disrupt that picture?
You know, look, America's done well with, to me, they do it. It's almost like the Fed was helping President Obama politically. And then it almost seems like, oh, Trump's president. What do we care if it impacts the economy? That's the feeling I got. Am I wrong?
There may be some truth to that. But the point is, look, we have had actually slight deflation right now. I mean, show me anywhere where prices are rising, and I guarantee you talk to farmers, you talk to the people in the oil patch, they don't see any inflation. They see their prices falling. So, you know, I'm for stable prices. I think that's the best the Fed can do, and I'm for high growth. And when I get over there to the Fed, I want to be the growth hawk, the guy who believes, as Trump, you know, we used to tell Trump, Larry Kudlow and I, you know, sir, we think we can get to a 3-4% growth rate with the right policies. And Trump, the ever optimist, would put up his hand and say, I want 5% growth. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know if we can get to 5, but, you know, you said it. Obama never got the 3% growth in 8 years in office. And here Trump is in the second year, and we got 3% growth.
Unbelievable. All right, stay right there. Steve Moore, he, along with Herman Cain, there should be a major shift now at the Fed. And that would be good news for the economy. It turns out that the current Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, there are people that have, let's say, policies that I don't think are conducive to the economic growth that America can possibly have. Low interest rates for me mean, oh, people can buy their first home. That means that, oh, older people can refinance their homes at a lower rate and save money every month and stay in the home that they love. Quick break. Right back. We'll continue. All right. As we continue, Steve Moore, author of Trumponomics, Inside the America First Plan to Revive Our Economy, senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation, and also here to set the record straight about all these attacks against him. Surrounding your personal life, taxes, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I've known you all these years. I just hate to even go down this road because I see it and I know it for total political BS. But, you know, it's part of the, you know, it's part of the way thing goes. Things go in Washington.
Well, what's going on here, Sean, is that, you know, I have a long record. You and I have known each other for many, many years. And, you know, I'm a staunch free market economic guy who believes in lower taxes and less regulation, and that's not where the left is. And they have 7 full-time reporters, investigative reporters after me, looking at every aspect of my life, you know, the girls I dated in high school and, you know, all of these things. And, you know, they went in a very, and I thought an incredibly underhanded and scurrilous way. They looked at my divorce record, and, you know, it was, what is my divorce 10 years ago have to do with my qualifications for the Fed?
Right, I mean, that's really 55% of the population. It's ridiculous. Steve Moore, so, though, listen, know, I'm sorry you have to go through all that. It's so typical, though, isn't it? It's just predictable, typical. You know, meanwhile, creepy Uncle Joe Biden is smelling hair, rubbing noses, kissing strangers, and hugging them as tightly as possible. It's weird. All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. As we continue, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour coming up.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
We got 2 million people in jail in this country, and a number of them are in jail for felonies. Many states say, okay, we're putting you away for a long period of time. You're going to pay a heavy price for that. But we're also taking away your right to participate in a democratic society. You can't vote anymore.
The U.S.-Israel relationship is one of the most important relationships that we have on the planet. And that relationship, if it is to be successful, must transcend partisanship in the United States, and it must be able to transcend a prime minister who is racist.
All right, that was, well, first Bernie, and then Beto Bozo, Robert Francis O'Rourke. Excuse me. The elections in Israel are going on now live in Israel as we speak. News Roundup, Information Overload Hour, 800-941-SHAWN. There has only been, before President Trump, one figure on the world stage that has had a singular focus and understanding and moral clarity of evil in our time. And that, of course, is radical Islamists. And now with the partnership, which is the best relationship we've ever had, especially after 8 years of Obama, we've ever had with Israel. We're not dropping $150 billion in cash and other currency on the tarmac for mullahs in Iran. He has been a Churchillian figure. We're told the election's going to be close. I hope people in Israel, if you hear this, that you're out voting for Likud. Newt Gingrich is with us, former Speaker of the House. How are you, sir? Oh, and by the way, Newt has a new podcast that's out. And Newt's World, we call it, and it's on all Apple products and wherever you might go for a podcast. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I think you sort of captured, I mean, it's a little hard to walk through the list and believe it's true. The Democrats have literally, I think, in a way, lost their head. They're just drifting into this mindless left wing. You know, the good example is, one of the things that Sanders confuses in Florida, the question was, once you have paid your price and once you are back out in society, should you be allowed to vote? And nobody in Florida voted on a referendum to let you vote while you're in prison. But they just can't help themselves. They keep moving in a direction that is, you know, less and less rational, but sounds really good if you're the left-wing fundraiser.
Well, it also sounds good, I guess, to people. I mean, whether you're willing or unwilling to work, you get all the benefits, and they're going to tax you at a 70% top marginal rate for individuals and a 90% corporate tax rate. And by the way, if you save too much money, then they're going to come back for another bite at the apple with the wealth tax. That's going to pay for government child care, according to Elizabeth Warren. And they're not done yet. Then when you die, they'll take more. I mean, it's...
Well, but let me tell you why this all just strikes me as I've been here before. In 1972, George McGovern, who up until this year was the most radical person nominated by the Democratic Party, he came out with what he thought was a very clever idea, which was going to be a $2,000 Demogrant. Everybody get $2,000. And after a couple of weeks of talking about it, it was overwhelmingly unpopular. And people, most Americans believe in the work ethic, and most Americans believe that they shouldn't be taxed so somebody down the street can avoid doing anything. And if you go out and you talk to folks in working neighborhoods, they'll tell you there are people who figure out how to get on welfare, how to get on food stamps, you know, how to rig the system every way they can. And hardworking Americans don't like that, that they actually have a distinctly negative reaction, which is why liberals do better among college professors than they do among blue-collar workers.
Well, I think you're right about the instincts of Americans, but, you know, a great line, by the way. I don't know if you heard Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo's a tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. Now, he's complaining that the New York State has come up with a $2.3 billion shortfall this year. New York, New Jersey, California, all losing population. No income tax states like Tennessee and Florida and Texas and even the Carolinas, they're all gaining population. Florida last year and Texas, nearly 400,000. Listen to Cuomo. You're going to love this.
We have one of the most progressive tax codes in the United States, which is a good thing, which means the richer you are, the more you pay. However, that presents a very fragile economy. because then you are relying on a very small number of people for the vast amount of your tax dollars. 1% of the taxpayers pay nearly half of all the taxes. 1% pay nearly half of all those taxes. Those 1% are the richest people in the state, they're the richest people in the country, and they are the most mobile people in the country. And you see the chart on the bottom. Top 1%, about 46%. Top 5%, 63% of all the revenue. Top 10%, 74% of all the revenue. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. We did. Now, God forbid the rich leave.
They left, Mr. Speaker. They're leaving. What happens nationwide when the country adopts that policy?
Do you remember when you were a child and there was this children's fairy tale about killing the goose that laid the golden egg?
Right.
And this was the sort of thing that was taught to people to sort of suggest to them, if you've got somebody who's being that generous, maybe you should be nice to them instead of nasty. I've never heard a liberal ever before admit what percent of taxes come from the top 1%. I mean, that was an amazing moment for Cuomo to admit that half of all the taxes in New York State are the top 1%.
It's insane.
Exactly right. I mean, at what point does somebody look at their budget? I talked to a guy recently who moved out of California to Texas, and with the difference just to not paying a state income tax, could buy a house in Texas at no cost to his budget.
That's why they're gaining popular. People aren't stupid. And by the way, no business with a 90% marginal tax rate is ever going to, let me build a business in the United States. They're going to leave, and they're going to take their money and their factories with them.
Right. And, of course, that's going to make, I think, one of the central themes of 2020 is going to be the objective fact that this president continues to create jobs, has a pretty good model for how to continue creating jobs. We have the lowest unemployment, I think, now since 69. For African Americans, the lowest unemployment. For Latinos, the lowest unemployment. For women, the lowest unemployment. And at some point, we're going to have a reality check and say to people, okay, you have a party that's putting you to work. By the way, we are also seeing wages rise faster for high school graduates than for college graduates for the first time in two generations. So you're seeing more money in your pocket. You have a job. You have a look ahead to real prosperity, or you could go with these left-wing folks and decide to destroy the economy. And I think that'll be one of the central thematics of the campaign in 2020.
Well, a lot of challenges. I honestly think it's like the greatest gift in the world that they've gone so far and so hard to the left, and even in the primary, I think they're even going harder left, and I don't think anyone's going to come out of that primary that is not one of these new Green Deal people, and I think that almost guarantees Trump gets a second term. Let me ask you about another issue I know you've been following. Most people don't even know this, but China's first email and the rise of their online activities, and in other words, their building of the internet. I know initially they saw the internet as a tool for scholars and scientists, but something is happening that may impact this country and our security and privacy on levels that we never imagined before.
Well, I can't tell you how glad I am that you've raised this issue. The whole transition to the fifth generation, what's called 5G, is going to be enormous. It's going to have like 1,000 times the capacity of our current system. And as of today, according to the Defense Innovation Board report last week, the Chinese are so far ahead of us that we are in real danger for the first time of losing strategically to China and having China define the internet of the 21st century. And this would be catastrophic, and it has really been extraordinarily difficult. I've been working on this issue for months now. And to watch the AT&T CNN team just lie about it, which is what they've been doing. I mean, they've been desperately trying to stop the kind of changes we need. Worldwide right now, Huawei, which is the big Chinese company, is just cleaning our clock. We have no effective response. And the president gets it. He's trying to move the system. But between the lobbyists for AT&T and the bureaucrats who are just sort of mindlessly slow, we are, and you've known me a long time. You've never heard me be quite this direct. We are in danger of suffering a strategic defeat from which we may not recover, because once the Chinese control the internet across the planet, they can tell us, well, we're going to keep them out of the U.S. Well, fine. You want to do business in India? You want to do business in South Africa? You want to do business in New Zealand? You're going to be on Chinese equipment. So, you know, unless we're prepared to really rethink this and launch an American offensive and do everything we can to define an American internet, I really do believe this will be a catastrophic disaster.
All right, you know, look at a guy like, you know, any of these big hackers out there. A lot of them, you know, are now in their 40s. They were hacking into our Department of Defense, NASA, and all these agencies when they were 16. We still have not built up an effective defensive measure so our government can never get hacked. Forget about the average American citizen, which is important if you believe in privacy, as I do. But if they're getting into our government and getting our government secrets, I mean, that's what the whole Hillary Clinton email espionage scandal was all about. We believe, and Comey was about to report it, that six foreign intelligence agencies hacked into that server in that mom and pop bathroom closet.
Well, then that's dangerous. But what's also dangerous is if you end up in a modern battlefield where information matters and the Chinese have the ability to put false information into your systems, so you don't know where you are or what you're doing or where your equipment is, you could be defeated before you ever fire the first shot. And that's how serious this stuff is. And you know, trying to get on my newsletter on Wednesday is going to be about the way in which the American news media has just sold the country out. You know, you look at the coverage that people have given to pure junk and the inability to get the New York Times, the Washington Post, or others to take seriously the survival of the United States. And that'll be a big issue, I think, in 2020. We have a president who really thinks American survival matters. You have a Democratic Party who thinks that that's all silly, that we can have open borders, weak defense, and be passive in the world and betray our allies and everything will work out fine. As you pointed out, I couldn't help but think when you were describing the $150 billion, I mean, what if Obama had by mistake sent the $150 billion to Israel instead of Iran? Think how much better off we'd be today.
What do you think of,
wild.
You know, I'm obviously concerned because now it's voting day in Israel. And, you know, I look at Bibi as frankly, for a long time until President Trump was elected as the, you know, sole single voice of moral clarity and understanding the real nature of the biggest threat in our time, which I believe is radical Islam, as we saw on 9/11. And but now Israel has its best partner. You know, look at Golan now is the Golan Heights are now recognized as Israel's. Look at the embassy moved to Jerusalem, where it belongs, the capital, from Tel Aviv. And then you have people like, you know, Robert Francis referring to this as, he's evil. And I'm like, wow, the same guy that doesn't want any walls on our southern border, by the way.
Right. I mean, you have to ask yourself, first of all, what's the moral right of somebody who's not in danger, not at risk, is not suffering from rocket attacks, hasn't lost a brother. As you know, Bibi lost his brother on the raid in Entebbe to rescue the people who were in the airline years ago in Uganda. You know, hasn't had family members who were killed in the Holocaust. I mean, people like O'Rourke who lived a privileged life, who are personally wealthy, have never known hardship. When they start criticizing somebody whose country's very survival is always at risk. And that's what people need to remember. The Iranians are pouring missiles into South Lebanon for Hezbollah. The Iranians have been subsidizing Hamas, which regularly fires missiles into Israel. The Syrians, if they got the Golan back, would use it as a base to once again fire down on the settlers and the tourists and the farmers down around the Sea of Galilee. You know, people like Beto literally have no notion how dangerous and how hard the world can be. And I think that's very dangerous in a national leader.
All right, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. Don't forget his podcast, Newt's World, on Apple, any podcast near you. Thank you, sir, for being with us. We appreciate it. 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. We got an incredible Hannity tonight, including two investigative reports. We'll tell you more about that. And we're naming names tonight. Yes, who are those people that have been lying to you? Our top 50 coming up tonight, Hannity, 9 Eastern. Quick break, right back. We'll continue. All right, 25 now until the top of the hour. You know, I'm really getting sick and tired of the lie, which is that, Kirstjen Nielsen is responsible for the separation of children. By the way, we're getting lectured by the people that won't meet with angel moms and dads, the people that have permanent separation. We're literally the people making that allegation are the same people that want to tear down walls and eliminate ICE. Those are the, you know, they don't seem to care at all about the permanent separation of 4,000 homicides in a 2-year period, or 30,000 sexual assaults in a 2-year period, or 100,000 violent assaults in a 2-year period by, yes, criminal aliens in this country. Is it the 98%? No, it's the 2%. Real families, real crime. Now, the other point of this is simple. Where were they when Obama had the same policy? The person that fixed it was Donald J. Trump, the president. The person that did not fix it or lift a finger to fix it is their ever so beloved Barack Obama. And now they want to blame Secretary. She'll be forever be known as this.
Kirstjen Nielsen is out as Homeland Security Chief. Yeah, well, I'd hold that applause. I'd hold on. Now, to take an even, supposedly it's going to be even tougher, the stance at the border. Families being separated, seeing kids in cages, how much tougher they're going to be.
As much as people don't like Kirstjen Nielsen, and she'll always be remembered for the separation of families, it's not her fault that we're seeing these numbers come in. Well, but to just shoo her out and expect that someone like Stephen Miller or someone's going to be tougher is going to solve the problem.
I don't know what they're going to do to these kids.
What's fascinating to me is that I believe she sold her soul, because she did become the face of separating babies from their parents. We now know that it's going to take about 2 years to even find out the true extent of this horror, because thousands of children were separated from their families.
And for the rest of her life, people will look at her and think, oh, that's the woman who put children in cages. That's the woman who broke up families across the border. And you know what? They'll be right, because she implemented that policy. Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, sort of created it, but she implemented it. And, you know, she's going to get what she deserves.
Remember, when it comes to Kirstjen Nielsen's service as Homeland Security Secretary, is that matter that the administration dealt with the zero tolerance policy in the spring of 2018. It was Secretary Nielsen who said that it was not an intention of the administration to separate children from their parents.
She oversaw the family separation policy, which prompted protests across the country and heartbreaking images of children in cages. And yet at the end of the day, this administration felt like that policy was not extreme enough. That was not hard enough. And they're going to try to take further in the days and weeks ahead.
You know, it's just ridiculous. I mean, it's so backwards with everybody on the left. All right, let's get to our busy phones here. Let's say hi to Daniels in Michigan. Daniel, hi, how are you? Glad you called, sir.
Thank you, Sean. Okay, Sean, so California declared itself a sanctuary state, and then you have the sanctuary cities, and they ignore the federal immigration laws, and it's been that way for years, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so Sean, here's what stuns me. I'm from Michigan. If Michigan declared itself a pro-life state, and said it's going to ignore federal abortion laws, and if Obama was president and Eric Holder or Loretta Lynch were the attorney general, Sean, I'll tell you what will happen. Within 2 weeks, they'd sue Michigan. Within 2 weeks, the federal court would say Michigan has to enforce federal abortion laws. And if Michigan didn't follow the federal judge's thing within 2 weeks, Eric Holder or Loretta Lynch would bring criminal charges against the officials in Michigan. They would last 2-3 weeks, and they would be following federal abortion law. How in the world can cities and states ignore federal immigration laws? And it goes on for months and years.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. At some point, there's got to be the charge of aiding and abetting. Number one, they're ignoring federal law. I think these states now, we have to consider, if they're not going to hand over, you know, look at the case, you know, we've had on this program. How many times have we had Steve Ronnebeck talking about his son, Grant? His 22-year-old kid was killed. He was working overnight in a convenience store. Who did it? Oh, a guy that had held a woman captive, kidnapped her, raped and abused her and assaulted her. Spent a lot of time in jail. What? They didn't hand this person over to ICE. Now he goes, he wants a pack of cigarettes for free. The kid is handing over the cigarettes. He still got killed. And at what point do we not say, okay, sanctuary cities and states are aiding and abetting in the crime when they let these criminal, when they protect these criminal illegal immigrants from being deported? And even now, after we deport them, we had a situation last week in Long Island, New York. A guy that had been guilty back at, 2005 of manslaughter. Okay, he's back in the country. He's back in Long Island, MS-13 member. That's because our borders are wide open and people now know how to get across. Why do you think this caravan is as big as it is? Because they know the wall's going up. Democrats may not have figured it out, but they have. And there's a certain urgency now building among those people that that want to come here, maybe a lot of them good people, but they don't want to come in legally. And we've got to respect our laws, our sovereignty, our borders, and we have the right to vet you to make sure that you're not going to bring harm to any American, and certainly you have the means to take care of yourself. Anyway, you know, it's got to happen. We should take away funding from those states, those cities that do this, because they're helping. They are aiding and abetting future crimes. And it's fairly predictable. Recidivism rate for violent offenders is, you know, predictable. It's high. Some people reform in prison. Many do not. All right, let's go to Dan in D.C. What's up, Dan the man? How are you? Glad you called, sir.
Thank you, Sean. A retired Marine, now working in D.C. as a contractor.
Well, Semper Fi, sir.
Into your show. Thank you, sir. Semper Fi to you as well. I had some thoughts on Adam Schiff that I just wanted to throw your way and get some feedback if you had some time. And that was that, you know, he continues to run with this preponderance of evidence that there was some form of collusion or some form of obstruction. And yet, you know, we know he has nothing. And yet he continues to insist in front of every camera that he ever gets in front of. At what point does the Republican Party or even Devin Nunes just pull his punk card and say, look, either produce whatever evidence you claim you have or be cited for obstruction yourself? I mean, is not withholding evidence obstruction
it would
of justice? And I would throw that at Swalwell as well. You know, let's pull their punk cards. Let's hold them accountable for what they're saying to the American public. Say, look, if you are withholding evidence because you've been doing it for 2 years now, oh, I have this. I've seen this. Well, show it or shut up.
The only one that I know on tape colluding with Russians to gather dirt to influence elections is the cowardly Schiff. Now, I think I've been pretty generous in offering him and Nadler, you know, all this time on my radio and TV shows, and for whatever reason, they don't call us back. I wonder why. Maybe they'll call me into their committee and I'll bring the tapes with me there. And I'll start playing them in their own words because they're a bunch of liars. And let me tell you something. If they care, look at the Ukrainian story we broke earlier. You literally have a headline today, Ukrainian to U.S. prosecutors. Why don't you want our evidence on Democrats colluding to help Hillary win in 2016 with actual real evidence? And then Joe Biden's own son up to his eyeballs in all of this. I know every time I mention the Schiff thing, everybody wants me to play because it's the funniest thing. I play a little bit. What is the nature of the compromising material?
Okay, and so Buzova met with Trump in New York at some point after the 2013 Miss Universe.
He met with Trump.
Yes.
Pageant.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And she got compromising materials on Trump after their short relations.
Okay. And what's the nature of the compromise?
Well, there were pictures of naked Trump.
Okay.
And so Putin was made aware of the availability of the compromising material?
Yes, of course. Buzova shared those materials with Sobchak, and Sobchak shares those materials with Putin because she's a goddaughter of Putin, and Putin decided to press on Trump.
Well, we have materials on Donald Trump compromising short after the short relationship. What is the nature of the compromise? Pictures, naked Trump pictures. That's what we got, naked Trump. Did Vladimir know? Has Vladimir seen them? Yes, but of course, Vladimir, of course, has seen the naked picture of Trump. He's seen it all. We have the pictures. I mean, and he's leading the collusion thing? I mean, if it's not so, it is almost as funny as Alec Baldwin trying to be a radio talk show host. Now, Alec tweeted out today, and I tweeted a thing earlier today. I hope it went out. I don't actually do my own tweeting anymore. I can't even get in my own accounts anymore. I've been blocked. My team says no more tweeting. We'll do it for you. But we put up.
That's interesting.
This is a real tryout for a radio talk show.
When we come back, we got some time. Oh, great. We're going to. When can we take some calls, Ivan?
How about now?
Whenever we want.
Do we have calls that are on there now?
No calls yet. No calls yet.
What number do people call to get on the air? I mean, do we have that number?
It's right there.
Do I have the call number in front of me? Oh, I'm so sorry.
Interesting.
At 1210 at PHT. Of course, any other questions you have, any other comments you have, call us to the... What else? Call us, please, at 215-1210. Now, if you don't call, we're going to keep reading from the Scientology manual. You might not feel it. You might not feel the energy right now. You might not feel the swell of what's happening here. Do we have any calls yet there, Ivan? No calls. Let's read some more about Scientology. Is Sean Hannity a Scientologist?
Nope.
Alec Baldwin posing the big questions tonight here. Do we have any calls here yet, Ivan? None. Boy, it's just incredible. Unbelievable. Well, you leave us no choice, listeners.
All right. Some of you are saying that's this total BS. No. That was a real tryout on our affiliate, WPHT, in Philadelphia. Now, that was on the heels of a tryout at, you know, my former station in New York, WABC. And Brian Whitman was a good guy. I mean, he's very liberal, but I like him a lot. I mean, we used to hand off to each other, you know, for a whole year, and I got to know him. He's a great guy, and we just don't agree politically. Brian was brought in to help him, to just, you know, help guide him through his tryout show. He was trying out to be a host. And then me and Levin called in, and he got so angry.
Come back. Alec, come back. They're gone. Alec? Alec has walked out of the studio. Alec, please come back. He is in the other room. Alec Baldwin has put on his jacket, and he has left. I just went into the station lobby to the elevator bank to see if I could find Alec Baldwin and ask him to please return to the radio show, but he is gone.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. Let not. We have loaded up tonight. Newt Gingrich, Laura Trump, Devin Nunes, John Solomon. Devin and John are going to be breaking news. Kevin McCarthy. Oh, this guy that worked for Obama on borders. Mark Morgan, he's phenomenal. Hope you'll join us. Thanks for being with us. See you tonight at 9, back here tomorrow.